And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. How's everybody doing? Everybody full? Stomachs?
Yeah.
Expanding?
A little bit of heartburn.
Yeah.
Did the buffalo chicken dip, which is kind of a not really a traditional Thanksgiving thing, but I think any appetizer's okay,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So had the crab dip. Have you guys ever done the crab dip with the cream cheese?
Cream cheese,
crab meat, and chili sauce. Okay,
yeah,
that's a staple.
I've not done it at Thanksgiving, but I've done it many
times.
Yeah,
so that, yeah, you're right. It's a little bit, although my aunt Moby would do that many years with the crab dip. But I did buffalo chicken dip.
Okay.
And I've now taken two Pepsids since I took another one today before I came in here.
That's how you know it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I used a lot. In fact, okay, so I used Texas Pete's hot sauce, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Now, I've always been a Frank's guy.
Okay.
But Jerry Stackhouse, at one point a few months ago, tweeted out that Texas Pete's is he had a tweet. It was something like, who would ever pick Frank's over Texas Pete's or something like that? And I was like, really?
I didn't know.
And so I actually went and bought some Texas Pete's. So I mean, hey, look, it's potent.
You're telling me that Jerry Stackhouse influenced your Thanksgiving eating habits?
I'm planning to go see Jerry Stackhouse's team tonight over at Memorial.
Okay.
And I may have to say, hey, like if I still have heartburn tonight, I may have to say something.
Yeah. By the way, you're leading me astray here. I'm going back to Frank's. No heartburn involved. Limited heartburn involved.
Yeah, you know, the thing is now I need to use it. Like I just use it in a recipe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a cup. So there's a whole cup of it. You know how much hot sauce it is? That is a lot of hot sauce.
Especially Texas Pete, too. It's got some kick.
So it is hotter. You think it's hotter than Frank's?
I think so. It might just be a subliminal thing just because I had it when I was younger. My dad used to always use Texas Pete, and it obviously impacted me a lot more when I was like 7 or 8 than it does as a 25-year-old man. But
yeah. Wait till you get to my age. And see how it impacts you.
In a different way, I'm sure. In a much different way. In the way you're feeling today. I'm glad you mentioned having buffalo chicken dip. I, too, made buffalo chicken dip. I mean, my roommate, yes.
Nice.
We procrastinated on the whole getting a turkey thing. And we started getting like supplies yesterday, and obviously there are no jerkies. So we made buffalo chicken dip and made buffalo wings. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
I like that.
Replace turkey with something a little better.
We fried a couple turkeys, smoked another turkey. There's another turkey in the refrigerator today that we're going to fry. I mean.
You texted that picture of the fried turkeys. They look good, man.
Yeah,
were they as good as they looked?
Yeah, they're pretty solid.
Nice.
Pretty solid job done by old Scott Stanley yesterday. Really
yes.
Enjoyed it. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texted in, how do you guys feel about going non-traditional for Thanksgiving? Like maybe having prime rib, surf and turf. Do you guys ever break holiday traditions? Instead of having the same old, same old.
All in on that. I think that there should be no rules on any of that. I mean, look, like you know, we had turkey and ham yesterday. It was great. And you know, stuffing, all that stuff. I like all that stuff. And it's Thanksgiving, and that's fine. But honestly, if someone's like, you know what? Yeah, let's just surf and turf it this year. I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically the idea is like, one, you're being thankful for everything you have. And two, that you have a feast.
Yeah, there's no real guideline to the feast. You can have some creativity.
Some people probably get upset about that. Like, no, it's got to be like this type of stuffing or whatever. To me, go non-traditional.
Yeah. Gluttony is the only rule on
Thanksgiving. Right, exactly.
That's really it.
You just got to eat as much as you possibly can. By the way, some good banana pudding yesterday, too. So, no, you're looking forward
to it. I thought you were bringing some in today.
Well, maybe. I still have some.
So you're
maybe Monday.
Okay. Oh, man. You're going to bring it in like 4 days old?
Yeah, that's probably not the best. Maybe I'll just make some new ones.
I mean, it's already mushed bananas, right?
Yeah, it is.
Now, my wife's cousin actually put on Facebook a picture of her banana pudding, which looked really good. And, of course, now it's like I'm known as the guy who hates banana pudding. So she's like, come on over. Like, look, I'll eat banana pudding. Not saying I won't eat it. I just don't. Put it anywhere near
this was a
the top of the dessert list.
It was a big time point of conversation yesterday at the table. Like people were talking about, so why does your co-host hate banana pudding so much? I was like, that's a great question. I don't know. I don't know how it's devolved into you like hating it, but that's where we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. If that's what I'm known as, I could be known as many worse things.
That's true.
Bananas just, how about this play? They're showing this play with the Texans. Did you see the flea flicker
play?
Yeah. I mean, like they were just like doing whatever. Let's just pitch it around and just we'll score. It's incredible.
Me and Elijah were talking before the show. You know, 2020's been pretty rough, and a lot of weird things have happened. It was nice to see some normalcy yesterday. The Lions come out and just get absolutely smoked by Houston. I mean, Deshaun Watson, they did whatever they wanted to do in that game. It was unbelievable.
The world felt normal for a moment. And the Cowboys and Lions, I think they were both down 41-16 at one point in their game. So, tradition, baby. We cannot let anybody else host those games but those two wonderful franchises.
When J.J. Watt brought that pick six back, I was like, here we go. This is the start. The Lions scored first. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Here comes some Detroit Lions football, baby.
Sometimes they tease a little bit more. My brother texted me actually like at like 5 in the morning, which is like, what are you doing? But he's like, here's a nice stat. Lions are 4-16 on Thanksgiving since 2001.
4-16.
I'm like, that good, huh?
Yeah, that actually kind of surprises me that they won 4.
That they won 4?
Yeah.
If you took a poll and you asked people, how many wins on Thanksgiving since 2001 do you think the Lions have? Do you think anyone gets as high as 4 on their guess?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe Brennan.
Yeah, Brennan. Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. I was like, he was going through the games, the Lions can still get in the playoffs, and he's like, well, what about? And I'm like, well, they're going to get crushed here.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, Derrick Henry's going to run for like 200 on them. And then, so the first series, they stopped Duke Johnson on a play. He's like, what? What's Derrick Henry going to do? I'm like, they just had one tackle against Duke Johnson. Just let's calm down.
Duke Johnson.
Let's calm down here. And then, of course, by the mid-third quarter, he was done watching the game.
Yeah, that's probably a wise move. Did you see Washington yesterday, Elijah, run the annexation of Puerto Rico?
It was beautiful.
Against Dallas. They only got like 8 yards, but they're showing it right now on the NFL Network. The annexation of Puerto Rico ran yesterday by the Washington football team, which automatically, I think, makes them my second favorite football team in the NFL.
Very Ron Rivera play.
Yeah.
I actually missed that, and that was very cool. I just saw the replay. That's very cool. That's a team. I mean, kind of got to root for them, right? I mean, how do you not root for the Washington football team right now with Alex Smith as their QB? Ron Rivera's a very likable guy. Got some good young players.
Well, I mean, their owner makes it pretty easy to not root for him.
That's
coach and head and quarterback tandem, yes, it's very easy to root for.
That is the dilemma, you know? That's the dilemma, is that Daniel Snyder needs to get out of the league. He needs to be the hell out of this league. But he actually has likable employees right now that we are watching on television.
I'm sure he'll find some way to screw that up very soon, too. Ron Rivera, when they don't win this division this year, gets fired. Right. Alex Smith kicked out.
Right.
okay, cool. By the way, I guess they're leading the division now at 4-7.
Yeah, no, they're first place.
Yeah, buddy.
That's funny, too. I mean, the Cowboys, boy. I actually kind of was buying into the idea of, okay, like Dalton, I mean, he's fine, and they should now kind of separate themselves. Yeah. Like they're still the best team with all those injuries, but my gosh, they are not.
Mike McCarthy, I guess he didn't bring out the watermelons the other day and start mashing them down like Gallagher. That's a one-time thing, I guess, that works.
Did you – the fake punt?
Yeah.
Deep in his, they were down a touchdown
atrocious.
At that point.
It was so bad. Atrocious. And it's not like it's like fourth and one. All you need is just to get around the corner on a reverse and just get 1 yard or a cough forward. You got to go like 10 or 11 yards. And when you fake a punt like that, you're essentially going 15 yards because of the shotgun snap to the punter. That was egregious. That's a fireable offense.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of, like, do we think he might get fired in year one in Dallas? Like, is there a chance that Mike McCarthy gets fired after 1 year Cowboys?
To your point, if he were coaching the Washington football team, then I'd say it's on the table. Now, Jerry Jones has got a itchy trigger finger too, but boy, I mean, again, that's Jerry Jones. I think it's sometimes he actually says, okay, I don't want to make myself look like a total idiot and make this big deal and hire this guy, but it hasn't been good. But he's also had so many injuries. I don't know. That was a bad moment as a coach. That team has been shredded. You know that the Cowboys are minus 108 in point differential in the NFL. The only team worse is the Jets at minus 153.
Well, that's a heck of a gap, too.
Yeah, the Jets are trying.
The Jets are special. I mean, we know they're special.
Wow. You don't want to be in the same category this year as the Jets with really anything. Like, there's nothing that I can think of where you're like, yeah, I want to be in the company of the Jets.
Just the company of trying to get Trevor, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
The Jags. It's amazing that early in the year, I need to hear from Todd, our Jaguars fan.
He was fired up after
week
one.
We're not going for any quarterback. Have you ever heard of Minshew Magic? They're 1-9. I mean, they are in hot pursuit. Meanwhile, what about speaking of Thanksgiving? And they were talking this up, and this is what the NFL does. I mean, they talk up any team that has a remote mathematical chance to do anything. But I will say the Texans at 4-7, just the fact that there's a mathematical life right now, they're going to be a problem for somebody.
They've got the Colts twice coming up.
They do.
Which is really amazing that they haven't played the Colts yet at this point. Which how this continues to happen in NFL scheduling is beyond me. Like the Packers, they're playing the Bears Sunday night. They haven't seen the Bears yet. They're going to play them like twice in the next 4 weeks.
It's like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't like that.
What are we doing here?
Too much of that.
But yeah, I mean, Deshaun Watson looking pretty good right now. You don't want to see those guys. I still think, even though they looked good yesterday against the Detroit Lions, they got some problems on defense. But
yes, no question. They're not great on D at all. But I mean, I like the receiving core. I do. You know, he's got a lot of different guys who can catch the ball. And again, when Will Fuller is healthy as he is now, Will Fuller is a problem.
You should have seen Packers Twitter yesterday with Will Fuller scoring all these touchdowns. They were upset that no trade was made for Will Fuller.
He was there,
very
too.
Upset.
They were dangling him, too. Man.
Tell me Packers fans don't think they have enough at receiver already?
Yeah, I mean, I guess not. And then MVS yesterday hurt his Achilles in practice. That was fun. So
really?
Yeah.
Bad?
I don't know. He didn't finish.
Wow.
It's never good when it's the Achilles.
Yeah, yeah. Any Achilles, that's at least going to be. I mean, hopefully it's minor, but that's still going to be some time if it's minor.
Johnny on Twitter says, if John Tortorella can get fired after 1 year of a 5-year deal with the Canucks, anything is possible with Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Oh, it's possible.
Johnny's up early this morning.
Yeah,
he got in British Columbia, I think.
Or maybe is Johnny still up?
Maybe he's still up.
It's 4 a.m. out in the, I believe, right?
I
out
think
there,
so.
4:12. Look, Steve Wilkes got fired after 1 year. With Arizona. I mean, it happens. It's possible. I guess it's like, is McCarthy the problem? I mean, this is an easy year to give a coach a pass in that situation.
Yeah.
But it is Jerry Jones.
You never know with that franchise. I mean, it is a dumpster fire, and it has been for a long time.
Is Packers Twitter like pointing and laughing about the Mike McCarthy thing? Like,
yeah.
Is Packers Twitter down, totally down on Big Mike?
Like, he never did anything good.
Right, like he never won a Super Bowl with him.
There's some of that.
Yeah.
Packers Twitter, it's not quite Vol Twitter, but it's a rough place to be. Like, when MVS fumbled the ball against the Colts the other day, death threats, it's bad.
Like people tweeting at him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Why am I on this website all day long?
It's a rough place to be. When we come back, some big-time news since we've been off on Wednesday between the Ravens and the Steelers, and it's looking like there may not be a way to get this game played on Sunday between the Ravens and the Steelers. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and the Predators Foundation needs your help towards the Smashville Donates campaign. Visit NashvillePredators.com/365fund to make a donation to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily. Purchase Hockey Fights Cancer gear or learn more. You can also bid on silent auction items by texting PREDS to 76278. Follow at PREDS Foundation on Twitter and Instagram for more info. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, it has not been a good last couple of days for the Baltimore Ravens. COVID test continued to turn up positive. Lamar Jackson now on the COVID list, and it's looking more and more likely that the game that originally was supposed to take place yesterday and was really the saving grace of the schedule in the NFL yesterday did not take place. It got moved to Sunday at, I think, 12:15 on NBC between the Steelers and the Ravens. And now, looking more and more like that game, just not going to be able to be played on Sunday between the Steelers and the Ravens. And it's interesting to follow this. A strength coach with the Ravens has been, I guess, disciplined for conduct related to the recent COVID-19 cases. And basically what they're saying is he failed to report symptoms, he wasn't consistently wearing a mask or a tracking device, which may have contributed to the team's myriad of coronavirus cases, this coming from Tom Pelissero. So a big mess in Baltimore right now.
Unbelievable. So our guy at The Athletic, Jeff Zrebeck, friend of the show, tweeted yesterday that the staff member currently suspended is head strength and conditioning coach Steve Saunders, according to sources familiar with the situation. Fifth year with the team. I mean, not wearing the tracking device, not reporting symptoms. Look, I understand some mask sloppiness. I mean, look, that's, you know, right. I mean, that's to be expected to a certain extent. Although, obviously, you know, I think that at this point, everyone should be better about that. But this is blatant disregard. Like, is this like a dude who just thinks it's like fake or something? I mean, honestly, I've been resistant of the whole like forfeit thing back when the Titans had their issues. All these people are like, forfeit, you know. I'm like, nah. You know, you try to play the games, you try. But I mean, if this doesn't work out, and I can't imagine they're going to play this game now. Lamar Jackson, a bunch of guys are positive. I think that should be on the table. When you have, if you have someone who, and granted, one person, but if you have one person in an organization who has been demonstrated to just be shirking all the rules, I think that's reasonable to talk about. I mean, so far they've been able to put off this week 18 thing, and this again brings it up as a possibility if you're committed to getting all these games in.
Well, and it's not like this is a just random game in November against a team from the NFC and the AFC. I mean, this is an interdivisional matchup, and the Ravens, I mean, it's going to have huge playoff implications on them. I mean, you're 6-4. We've talked a lot about the AFC and how competitive it is right now. I mean, you need this game if you're the Ravens to win and to get yourself back in a position where you're fighting for a playoff spot. So, like, it's not like you can't play this game. Week 18, I think, very much on the table. And Adam Schefter last night tweeted out that the Ravens are shutting down their training facility until Monday at the earliest, and then had kind of an interesting back and forth with Pro Football Talk, which was funny to watch. But
yeah, Pro Football Talk's like, source says not, and then they're like, actually, John Harbaugh just confirmed it. Shut up.
Exactly. So if their facility's not open till Monday, like, there's no way they're playing this game on Sunday, right?
I can't imagine.
There's no way.
No. So, I mean, they haven't said that officially yet, but I can't imagine. So that whole idea of now, I mean, seriously, like, this was, one, the one good game we were going to get yesterday. Yeah. Didn't get it. And then they still were going to have, like, the national audience, NBC. Again, that's a lot. I mean, you think about the advertising perspective and all this stuff. I mean, this is an important game from a lot of angles, but I can't imagine they'll play it. And so another issue here is the Ravens have the Thursday game coming up. So I don't know how they're all going to handle it, but I do think that the F word, for the first time to me, should be on the table, because it may be the only way you can get through this without going to that week 18. Now, there's still a lot of football left, a lot of opportunity for them to have to go to a week 18, or for them to have to just say, look, that team's playing 15 games and it's just how it is. But if they are, if they feel like, I mean, you know, they've got it right now to where they can do this and have the same playoff schedule and everything, maybe you slap one on the Ravens, because, I mean, this is not just some sloppiness. This is one person who, I mean, to me, I don't know if it's fireable or not, but man, that guy, I don't think he can get enough crap for this. It's ridiculous.
No, it's bad, and I don't know if it's just because, you know, Thanksgiving was yesterday and people were preoccupied and doing other stuff, which I'm sure that's a large part of it, but like on social media, which is where I go to gauge all rational discussion, is Twitter on social media. Like, the Ravens, they don't seem to be getting as hammered for this as the Titans were back when this first started. And I don't know if people just have, like, fatigue over it, or if they learned through the Titans that maybe there's some other factors that you want to wait for to come out. But it doesn't seem like the Ravens receiving quite as much heat as the Titans did.
That's a good point. And you're probably right about Thanksgiving and all that. I also think that the initial anger with the Titans was when a lot of people thought that they were, like, sneaking off to do these workouts.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, like, the USA Today guy, that column was, that was a guy thinking, like, these guys are sneaking out, not caring. They don't, you know, it's a whole team doing what this strength guy is doing. And in fact, it wasn't, I mean, it was not that exactly, you know. We've gone over all that. I mean, it was, I think, some misunderstanding, and they should have been smarter than that and figured out that if your facility's closed, you don't gather. But still, it wasn't, what I think people thought at first was like this totally underhanded clandestine operation that was just like, screw you guys.
Clandestine.
We don't care about-
Look yeah. at you.
I, every once in a while, I'll throw out a big word. Yeah. I make up words sometimes, too. So.
That was really good.
That
was
that's AP, actually a real one.
That's an AP English word right there. That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Going back to the 90s. Yeah, so I think that's it. I mean, that's just my guess. But you're right, Robbie. I also think there's some of the fatigue and kind of now that we've seen it in a lot of places, people are like, okay, well, it can easily happen to anyone. And back then it was still coming off those first few weeks and it's like, oh, the NFL,
yeah.
As long as you do what you're supposed to do, then you're not going to get – you're not going to have a problem. You know? Oh, well, what are the Titans doing wrong? Now it's like, oh, okay. Basically, everyone's – I mean, how many teams have had nothing at this point? Like, even the Steelers had, like, Roethlisberger had at least a close contact, right? Like, yeah. How many teams have had zero?
I think it's just two.
Is that
Rams
right?
And Jets.
There you go.
If the Jets have done anything right
my
this year.
Goodness, wow. Those Jets. J-E-T-S.
Well, I said earlier, like, there's not a category you want to be in with the Jets. Apparently there is.
Apparently there is, wow. And that is being healthy enough to field a full team and still lose every one of your games. Yeah.
Amazing.
All the time.
Wow, good for you, Jets. And, yeah, the Rams, McVay. We got to see sort of their operation in Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Seemed, you know, seemed to be doing a good job.
Yeah.
I bet you by the end we'll have every team with some kind of touch of this, you know?
So, like, if they had to play Sunday – would RG3 be the quarterback?
Is he the two?
I think he's the two.
He's the two, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I can't think of another quarterback on the roster. I want to say it is him.
A resurgence for RG3 coming up.
Wow.
It's a shame we probably won't get to see that.
That's too bad. Well, we may still see him. I mean, if I don't know the full situation. Lamar Jackson tested positive. Has that been reported?
Yeah.
So we may still see RG3.
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to play their Thursday game? On Thursday?
Right. Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Two consecutive games in a row on Thursday.
RG3 can beat the Cowboys.
Yes. Yes, he can.
So if they're Monday at the earliest, I mean, if they get back in their facility by Tuesday, well, they'll play it, right?
I would think
with
so.
Whatever yeah. they've got. I do wonder if today we're going to hear more movement for the forfeit situation with the Ravens.
I don't know. Like it seems like the NFL wants to do everything they could possibly do to avoid that.
Yes.
But it's also.
And they should.
Sure. But it's also, like, at some point, you may not have a choice. I mean, if you're that dedicated to not having a Week 18 and it's come out that someone's negligence directly involved with the organization is, like, directly causing this, then I think it's at least on the table. Like, yeah. I'm still not sure they're going to do it, but I'm not sure they were ever seriously talking about it with the Titans. I think they might actually talk about it with this.
You know, and you could also just not have the game. You know, just, I mean, you know, just not make it up. But, you know, like the Chiefs, for example, will be, you know, the Chiefs trying to get that one. They're like, wait a minute, that's a game they could have lost. You know, like the Steelers go, whatever they do, and they finish a game ahead of the Chiefs. I mean, where the Steelers are on the standings, I think, makes it more important to have this game.
Well, even the Ravens, too. Like the Browns or the Titans.
Yes, yes.
You're looking at this game and thinking, yeah, there's a pretty good chance Steelers could come in there and win. Let's give the Ravens that extra loss and not go, you know, a 15-game winning percentage tiebreaker or whatever it would be at that point.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Lots of angles on this.
Lots of different angles.
But the strength coach is an idiot.
Yes, that's what we've learned from this entire setup here with the Ravens. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans and the Colts. Some injury news on the Titans. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, some good news this week so far. On the injury report for the Titans, Kenny Vaccaro did not play in the game on Sunday against the Ravens. He was back out there on Wednesday. Adam Humphrey's back out there on Wednesday as well, and Roger Saffold as a limited participant. So those three specifically, Joe, I mean, pretty important guys for the operation here for the Titans. We've talked about, you know, Roger Saffold and what his importance could be on the line, especially given the situation they're in right now on the left side of their offensive line. But if they're able to get Humphreys and Vaccaro back this week against the Colts, two guys that can make a pretty big difference in their lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, they did put out a Thanksgiving sort of
hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetical injury report, which was everything the same. Again, Saffold, and Saffold, by the way, is part of interviews today. That's probably the strongest indication yet that he's playing Sunday, because they just wouldn't make someone available that they know is hurt or isn't going to play.
Right.
So I think it looks good for Saffold, and he was listed. Now, Humphreys gets the downgrade to a limited today, but I'm sure that's just like they would have. They would just take it easy with him. I mean, the fact that he was a full participant, and again, we're talking about November 1st for Humphreys on the headshot. So that really bodes well. You know, it's the same guys not practicing. A.J. Brown, the second day. I mean, but that's sort of been the thing with him. Dennis Kelly, that's been the thing with him.
Yeah.
I mean, today will be interesting. Today is a big day out there in the practice field. I think it's later today. It's 11:45. They've got practice today, a little open window that we can see who's out there. But it looks good. I mean, Adam Humphreys, if he plays, again, this will be the third game. If he plays and plays the whole game, third game all year that those top three receivers will be together. Saffold coming back would be big. I will say this. I've gone through the tape of the game. I wrote a story on David Quesenberry, kind of a Thanksgiving story that posted yesterday at The Athletic, but I went through the tape in doing it, and I figured, I just assumed, so 16 plays he was on the field, and I was like, okay, so there'll be some blatant examples of third-string tackle out there. I'm not an offensive line coach. I'm not an expert. The guy was unbelievably good.
Yeah.
The guy, when the game's happening, you're covering the game in the press box, all these moving parts, you didn't notice any blatant issues. He was excellent. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue, twice they left him alone with him on big passing downs, and he just totally walled him off. So, again, it's a small sample size, but it's kind of amazing to think that a third-string tackle could come off the bench, like no false starts, you know what I mean? No missteps, no screw-ups at all. Be totally professional, do the job. And he's an interesting guy, too, because he's 30 years old, and obviously he's had, 3 years he battled cancer. He got the diagnosis of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2014, sixth-round pick, former walk-on at San Jose State. But he's barely played. So he's really actually like a young player physically, doesn't have the wear and tear. Pretty impressive when a dude can be on the fringe of being in the NFL, which is really what he was. He's a practice squad guy, bouncing around a little bit. It's been Texans and Titans. But to come in and get that opportunity and play like he did, man, I was blown away watching. We get like the All-22 film with Pro Football Writers, so you can get that coach's film. You can do slow-mo and all this stuff. And I was like, this dude looks like a freaking, like, really good starting left tackle in the NFL. And he's their number three. So, I honestly, after watching this, I'm like, okay, first of all, any thought right now that they might go, like, Kelly over to the left and Isaiah Will or something like that, there's no way. Like, they're going with that lineup. And then you put Saffold in. And, by the way, I thought Brewer did all right, too.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad. But you put Saffold next to him, they could be all right. They could be all right. And, of course, we know the Colts may be quite limited on that D-line compared to the first matchup.
Absolutely, and it came out the other day that DeForest Buckner, not going to be in this game, COVID-19.
Well, that's not – now, hold on now.
Is he not in?
Well,
that's where he wasn't going to be in.
Yeah, so, I've heard some people say that, but right now that's not, I don't believe, confirmed he's out. The problem is we don't have the information on – whether it's a positive or whether it's a contact.
Okay.
Just on the list. According to my our guys at The Athletic, Holder and Kiefer, they're writing like doubtful he would play, but okay. it's still not confirmed. I think today we'll know that for sure.
And Danico Autry as well.
And Danico Autry. I mean, if you miss them both those guys, that's a very different, not just defensive line, it's a very different defense.
Yeah. And the Titans ran the ball pretty well with those guys in there anyway. And if you don't have them in there, I think you feel pretty good about Derrick Henry being able to run. And you also feel pretty good about Ryan Tannehill actually having some time to throw, which he didn't have a whole lot of in that first matchup against the Colts.
Right. And so Tannehill, more time to throw. You know, obviously a different matchup up front. All three of his receivers. And even, you know, Mykole Pruitt, if he's back. That's kind of an underrated thing. I think Jeff Swaim is a nice guy to have in there to fill in, but they're better with Mykole Pruitt. And Mykole Pruitt listed again full participant Thursday. So, I mean, you know, that offense could be in pretty good shape, you know, relative to a lot of games this year, other than obviously, you know, the guy that they're not getting back.
Right. And also no sign on Wednesday of Adoree Jackson at practice once again. So doesn't look like he's going to be coming back this week. And then you have to start wondering, all right, like when is this guy coming back? Like we played the guessing game for a month and a half here with Adoree Jackson. And I think it's pretty obvious at this point that he had a setback of some kind along the way. But, man, you just keep waiting and waiting and hoping if you're a Titans fan that Adoree Jackson gets back in there. And not looking like this week is going to be the week for that.
No, not looking. I mean, look, if it's week 17 and then he's ready for the playoffs, you'll
still
take it. Yeah, but it'll be a weekly thing. It'll be annoying for all of us. It'll be a weekly thing until then to figure out. Another thing today to watch is Brett Kern. So, and some of these other guys who have been designated for return, you know, Christian Fulton is another guy. I mean, I would assume that it might be a little bit for them, but Brett Kern today. We'll see. If he's out there, then he's punting Sunday. And if not, they have Trevor Daniel on the practice squad, you know, ready to swap him in. But that would be big if they could get Kern in this game.
Yeah, so the Titans getting healthier, I should say. And this coming, obviously, at a really good time against the Colts. And you look at this matchup, Joe, and we've talked about it a little bit here this week on the show. If you're the Titans, I think you've got some confidence heading into this. Now, I know it's the Colts and Ryan Poorth, a lot of Titans fans. When you say the words Indianapolis Colts, they like shrivel up into this ball and they just get scared. I think the Titans going into Baltimore and getting a win like they did and having to fight their way through it, I think they're going to have some confidence coming in, getting some bodies back. Now, what that translates to on the field on Sunday, I have no idea. But I don't think the Titans are just going to come in here and thinking, oh, boy. Here we got to go to Indy. I think they look at it as a pretty big opportunity for their group heading into this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think even if the Colts were all healthy and none of that stuff happened and the Titans didn't get some of these guys back, I think they were going to be up for this game. That had to be an embarrassing finish for them because really it was a close football game they could have won. And it all blew up. And again, special teams had a big hand in it. But I've thought all along the Titans would be geared up to have a really good performance in this game. And so, yeah, you get some good health news along the way. That probably helps too. But I think that I think you're going to see their best Sunday. I'll be very, very surprised if you don't.
And what that looks like in terms of the final result, we'll have to wait and see. But certainly some adjustments to be made when you look at this matchup. And they just got killed the last game in the short passing game. I mean, they were picked apart. Phillip Rivers had, I mean, I guess you could say he had time, but he really didn't need time. He got rid of the ball so quick that that's basically what the Colts offense was doing, just driving their way down the field the whole time. I mean, that's what they do. I would imagine that's going to be what they try to do again. If you're the Titans, you got to find a way to adjust to that because you can't live and just let, you know, Phillip Rivers drive 14 plays down the field every drive. That's not a very good recipe for success.
Right, and you know you're – realistically, not going to get to him too much. The way they play, the way he gets it out, 2.3 seconds or whatever it was first meeting. So get your hands up. You know, you try to get him in some obvious passing situations where you do have a chance to get at him. But, yeah, I think you got to be – the back end has just got to be better and, I think, more aggressive.
If Buckner's not in this game, and we've talked about how stout that defensive front is, if Buckner can't go – what does that do to the Colts defense?
It does a lot. I mean, you saw him last year. They weren't very good. I mean, to me, they had a disappointing defensive year last year. Darius Leonard had kind of a sophomore slump year and all that stuff. Now you bring him in and it's like, oh, they're back to being one of the best defenses in the league. I don't think it's a coincidence at all. I think he's a huge part of that. He occupies two guys a lot and he's just a problem in there. So I think it makes it easier to run it. I think it makes it easier to protect and makes a guy like Darius Leonard less effective. I mean, it's there's a big ripple effect if he can't go.
When we come back, is there a mental advantage for the Colts in this game, or is that way overblown in the world of sports? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans tight end Anthony Firkser scheduled to join us to begin the 7 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. And Joe, looking ahead to this game against the Colts, a lot of people think maybe a mental edge for the Colts in this game. They've dominated the series with the Titans as of late. As a matter of fact, the Titans are 4-20 against the Colts since 2008, which is just incredible in the NFL that you could have that amount of an ineptitude against a division rival. But the Titans have against the Colts. We know the history of the Colts. They win often against the Titans, and they win really no matter where the game is played. Do you think maybe that creates a mental advantage for the Colts in this game, with that sort of dominance on their side in recent history? Or do we make too much of that in the NFL and in the world of sports? Do you think that that's just maybe oversimplifying what we've seen from this version of the Titans?
Yeah, I don't think that means much here. I think, obviously, that record, and I think it also goes back, you can go back to 28-7 if you want to go back to 03. To me... That really says that they played against Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck a whole bunch, right? Yeah. And they're not anymore. And look, tried to tell this to Porth the other day. Titans win Sunday. That's 3 out of 4 for the Titans in Indianapolis. Oh, they own the Colts in Indianapolis.
Yes, sir.
Will anyone be saying that? Probably not. But I think it's just a new era. And honestly, I think when stuff like that gets talked about, and it will be, and we should talk about it. I mean, it's interesting. It's a real, I think, for Titans fans, it's just frustrating. It's just like Ryan Porth. I mean, he has that feeling of dread when they play them. I think that's more for the fans who are there through different groups of players. I mean, how many guys on this Titans roster have a clue or could give a crap about any of that, right?
Not very many.
Not many. I do think sometimes when we talk about all this stuff and it comes up and they get asked about it, maybe it gives them an edge. You could argue that. You could argue there's like, I'm sick of hearing this crap, and let's go beat them. Now, they're both going to be up for this game. It's 7-3 against 7-3. The winner of this game very likely is going to win the AFC South. So I do think it's overblown, but it's always going to be talked about, and it's one of those things that it transcends the current group. But the current group just hasn't had too much of that. Now, they had the disappointment last Thursday. They had the disappointment at home last year with Eddie George, Steve McNair's big day. So they've felt some of that, but they've also had some success. So I don't think they feel like there's just something they can't overcome. They were losing to the Colts, I think, by 10. I have to go back and look at it. But they were losing, not playing well, and they said, we're going to keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry, and they ended up coming back and getting a huge win on the way to the playoffs in that building last year.
They did, and like you said, I mean, both teams 7-3. The winner of this game in great position to win the AFC South. But we've also seen like Mike Vrabel use everything he could possibly use to try to give his team an edge or give his team kind of that extra jolt of motivation. Do you think he brings this up at all with his group that they're 4-20 against the Colts in their last 24 meetings and it's been heavily one-sided?
Yeah, I mean, who knows which part of like which stat he brings up, that one, or I mean, there's a lot of ways you go there, but I wouldn't put anything past Vrabel bringing stuff like that up. I think Vrabel brings up every little bit that he can bring up on stuff like this. He's a guy who played in this league for a long time, and I don't think there's any question that I have my doubts sometimes about how much it really impacts like the outcomes or the performances, because, again, violent game, major stakes, people are playing for their jobs. I mean, there's a lot to it. But clearly coaches think – They want to try to find an edge, and they don't want their guys to try to give the other side an edge. And Vrabel's huge on the we've seen plenty of glimpses behind the curtain of Vrabel, especially in some of those locker room celebrations and things. Oh, yeah. He brings it all up, no doubt. He brings it all up.
He does, and I think you brought up an interesting point a couple weeks ago when we were talking about some of this stuff, and that is, like, on the game day itself, not sure how much, like, all the motivation crap gets put out there. And we were talking about it, I think, with, you know, Lamar Jackson and going up against the Titans because, you know, if you're not motivated to play in the game, there's a very good chance you're going to get hurt. So that is just kind of is what it is by itself. And like you said, there's enough in this game without all that stuff to be up and be ready to play. If you're not, probably in the wrong business. I mean, you're 7-3, you're in first place in the AFC South on the line. But where you said, and I agree, that it maybe hits home a little bit more is the week of preparation. You start giving everything you can have and using everything you can use to get yourself in a place where you feel like, okay, I've done absolutely everything I can possibly do to get ready for this game. I've watched the amount of film I need to. I picked up on some tendencies that maybe I can use in this game. Maybe that's where the motivation against the Colts plays in this week in the preparation part of the game.
Right. I think it's probably less extreme in the NFL than college. But, I mean, I got that from years of covering Michigan State football. And more than once, coaches told me, you know, trying to figure out, like, Michigan week. You know, Michigan usually had more talent. Michigan State beat them a lot, you know, and they've had a lot of success. And it's like these guys watch double the film, you know, during that week. Like, they are so into winning this game, you don't even have to try to push it on them. It's like they are going to independently. And you know how now anybody on their iPad or wherever can get these cut-ups of anything they need, yeah, you know, to prepare for a game. But, yeah, that is it's the week of preparation that I think it shows up and then pays off more than like, oh, you know, breathing all hard coming out of the tunnel. You know what I mean? Again, man, if you're not like that anyway, what you're going to get your butt kicked out there.
Elijah, are you a big heavy breather coming out of the tunnel back in your athletic days?
Try not to be, yeah, because it doesn't sound pretty. But, I mean, I definitely I'm more of a chest bumper.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah.
A chest bumper or a chest thumper?
Like, ooh, well, I mean, are they kind of the same, aren't they?
Well, I'll be chest bumping with other people or chest thumping, like,
okay,
like
I see,
King Kong type stuff.
I see both, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Heavy into the King Kong type stuff,
that's
too.
Impressive.
Yeah, that's where it's at. Or the LeBron silencer where you slap your chest a couple times and do all that.
Yeah, there you go.
See, that was more my speed, for sure.
Okay.
I like that.
You play hoops, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get you
with
in the
hoops.
When this all ends, yeah, we'll have to get you out there.
Oh, yeah. Sign me up. And you'll want me on your team. The jump shot's still there.
Ooh.
It's still there.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
I like
some
confidence.
People to kick out to.
I can no longer jump over a pencil with a trampoline, but I can still shoot. So,
look, man, that's all you got to do. And the game we'll be putting together, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The specialist.
Should be really athletic out there.
Joe, this week is interesting to me because, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. Like, it's not like you're spending, I think, a ton of time on preparation and, like, cutting up videos of the Colts this week. I mean, you just saw them a couple weeks ago. So I'm kind of fascinated what it's like, and I'm excited to ask Anthony Ferkser about this. It's a different week anyway. I mean, you've got Thanksgiving right in the middle of it, and it doesn't throw things off that much, I don't think. But it's like you've seen the Colts a couple weeks ago. It's not like you've forgotten all of your game plan going into it. At this point, it's about adjusting and reacting to how the first game went and how you think they're going to attack you here in the second game. I wouldn't imagine that the Colts' game plan probably not going to change all that much heading into this game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, right. I mean, it's almost like this is the third half. You know, it's like you your second half adjustments, and now what's your third half adjustment? You know, they played so recently. But, I mean, Buckner being out probably will change some of their stuff, right? I mean, if they don't have Buckner, they have to try to compensate in different ways. Maybe, like, I don't know, maybe they blitz more or whatever. I mean, you know, they're both going to try to throw different things at each other. I mean, this is two straight games now that we've seen Arthur Smith with the first possession with the scripted possession almost flawlessly go down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah.
After they kind of had a time where they weren't starting well, you know. So can that happen again? You know, obviously he is finding things and putting together a real nice plan for that first drive against the last two. It's two really good defense, two of the best defenses in the league statistically in the Colts and Ravens. So that's something to watch here. But yeah, it's, I mean, they know each other. There's no edge there. The edge is, I'm trying to think if, I guess, Humphreys being back is one big difference for the Titans, you know, versus that game because they didn't have him. And I think I think you saw at times that they missed him. But it'll be – it's still about a handful of plays. It's going to be a handful of plays. You make them or you don't make them in this game. And if you make them, you're probably going to win the AFC South.
Well, it's interesting because if you think back to the first game for the Titans against the Colts, and if you watched the Colts last week against the Packers, I mean, the Packers destroyed them in the first half. They're up 28-14, and you're thinking, all right, well, this is just going to be easy for the Packers in the second half. And 2-3 and outs for the Packers in the third quarter, the Colts had the ball pretty much the whole time. Other than that, pretty much the same thing against the Titans. Like, they just dominated in the second half, and the defense completely shut the Titans' offense down. So it's pretty apparent to me, Colts are pretty good at making some adjustments at things that aren't going well for them. And if you're the Titans, you got to do a much better job of reacting to that in this game. Now, I get it. Special teams was a big part of that in the last game, and that kind of, you know, it just throws a wrench into everything you're trying to do. But I do think we've seen some recent evidence against two pretty good teams that the Colts are pretty good at changing some things up and adjusting on the fly.
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, the special teams had a big hand. You also, so, I mean, before all that stuff blew up, you got the goal line stop, but you also did that on their 28th straight play.
Right.
And so then when all that stuff happens, I mean, I think what we saw with the Titans was the defense really, once, especially Gostkowski missed that field goal, like the defense just fade. I mean, it faded. So that was there was a fatigue factor there too, not just adjustments. But, yeah, you have to look at the Colts playing like that in the second half. They got a good coaching staff. You know? So this is a big, big coaching matchup too. Just like, I mean, every time, Vrabel and Frank Reich, it's a good coaching matchup.
When we come back, we will be joined by Titans tight end Anthony Ferkser. We'll look ahead to the Titans battle against the Colts with him. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.